Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Would you like to know the list, just the depth and breadth of things that I haven't gotten to yet? We've got Clyde Lewis coming up this hour with News at Ground Zero. We have, it's not even today's top five. We have yesterday's top five to get to. We have, we haven't talked about Dennis Miller. I mean, not that there's really much point since the show is so dreadfully, abysmally awful that it, not like anybody really, you know, not like it's my job to point the quality stick, seeing as how we can't even pronounce the names of cities that are 3 miles away correctly. But anyway, but that show is so terrible, it's going to be gone within 6 months, so we'll talk about it later. But we've got all that coming up. We're going to go back to the phones here in just a moment. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom. Our good friend, Therese, who was one of the candidates to have the producer job a while back. And then you ended up working on Good Day Oregon, right?
No, I worked there before. I worked there when I first moved to Portland.
Here's the reason I know this. And we'll continue the How Chicks Think segment here in just a moment. But the reason we know this is because we had mentioned, because you had called yesterday to lord over your date with Matt. Over the rest of us. But this guy, Daryl, our good friend Daryl, had dropped off a tape of you, actually, on Good Day Oregon, because you'd done some story about speed dating.
He was my photographer, and he's a wonderful person.
Yeah, and it's like they put you just into the smallest top they could possibly
find.
It was
a dress.
Yeah, it's, it was, I mean, clearly meant for someone.
I could wear it tomorrow.
Here's... So in just a moment, we're going to go back to the phones. We'll continue the How Chicks Think segment. The question, this guy talking about his wife of 23 years passed away right before Thanksgiving. The question is, can he do her friend now that she's dead? Which is exactly the sort of no-holds-barred discussion that you can expect here from the Rick Emerson Show. We're back to that, plus the top five coming up this hour. Also, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. This, however, is your friend and mine, Tim Riley, in the KOTK Newsroom.
It's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Kentucky Fried Fish hits Vietnam. That bird flu epidemic spreading through Asia has claimed its first casualty, the sea in KFC. Now, this is only in Asia, mind you. The Golden Chicken chain has been forced to keep almost all of its outlets in Vietnam closed after illness killed 6 people in the country. It's kind of like a mad chicken disease. Now, customers are shying away from its normal fare and have switched to an all-fish menu. The only way to return to the usual menu, KFC said, would be to start importing frozen chickens from the U.S. Now, 12,500 restaurants worldwide, more than 3,000 are in Asia, 3rd in Japan, 900 in China and Hong Kong, and another 300 or so in Thailand and Malaysia. KFC's 9 outlets in Vietnam were closed anyway for the Chinese New Year, but they'll likely be shut down till January 31st. Paris Hilton is revealing more of herself in a new book. People magazine says the 22-year-old Hilton hotel heiress is currently shopping for a publisher for autobiography.
You remember when you used to actually have to live an entire life before you had an autobiography? It's like Sarah and I were watching VH1 or something the other day, and there was like a Britney Spears beat. Was it her that had it behind the music? Was some Britney Spears beat? It's the same thing with Alanis Morissette, man. She was putting out like her second American album, and they had the, her career has been filled with ups and downs, and the triumphs, and it's like she's, I mean, she was like 24 or something. I mean, you used to actually have to, you know, accomplish things before you started penning your memoirs. Not so much anymore.
Well, anyway, it's called Tongue and Cheek, Confessions of an Heiress. The book is expected to fetch about $1 million. Hilton has already reached out to fashion writer Mary Ginsburg for help on the project. Chapters on how to be an heiress will be accompanied by an array of pictures taken by Paris's favorite photographer.
Chapters on how to be an heiress. How about chapters on how to be a vacuous whore that everyone detests? How about that? How to be a skeezy-ass hoe that everyone would like to see set on fire and kicked down a hill.
Now, Paris is also developing a line of clothing and a hip-hop album.
She's neat. Are you serious? Hip-hop?
See, this is the Achilles heel. Look, here's the difference between myself and Paris Hilton. One of perhaps a few. But here's the thing. When we do the Tim Riley factor, or as the Oregonian refers to it, the Time Riley factor, when we perform those songs, I'm under no illusion that they're any good. I'm under no illusion that they're decent, that they should be heard by anybody other than my family who's legally obligated to like them. But the thing is, you can tell these people just cannot resist the hip-hop album or the debut. Because who else is... There's somebody else doing one. Isn't it the... Who else is releasing a solo album? Nicole Richie's doing one, and there's somebody else. Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, and Right there, and I got nothing. But that's always the undoing of all of these people, is they always do the Shatner. And they never learn that only Shatner can do that. Shatner is the alpha and the omega. He is the beginning and the end of celebrity records. He's the only person that can pull it off effectively. Everybody else, man, it just becomes like a cudgel that they're going to beat you with for the rest of your life. So, you know, it might as well be Paris Hilton.
Next is When It Happens. I'm Tim Riley.
Excellent. 503-250-1080 in Portland. Rick, you have a digital camera there, right? Let's see a picture or two of this fine little thing in the studio. A little nudity would be nice, but it's not absolutely necessary. And that's Kevin in the couve. Yeah, I'll see what we can do.
No, there isn't a digital camera here actually today.
Why?
Because the only one that we ever use is mine, and mine's at home.
What happened to the... Don't we have a promotions department?
No.
Never mind.
We sort of borrow JJ's promotion department from time to time, but that doesn't really happen anymore.
Well, okay. Maybe
I'll just... Dare. I could get a job as your promotions person.
But see, here's the thing. It's like you... Like, I saw the stuff you were doing on Good Day Oregon, and I know that, like, you actually expect a, you know, like a livable wage for that, and it's just not going to happen here, sister.
No.
So, anyway... our advice for that is always just to go be a stripper. But I looking for the livable wage. That's always...
If men weren't so gross and drooly and hairy at those places, then women would find it a little more tolerable.
Man, that's an unfair generalization.
Have you been to a strip club?
Well, it's not like I go all the time, but I mean, there's any number of normal, decent men at strip clubs.
They seem to be outnumbered by the gross, hairy, drooly ones.
Well, that's probably true, but decent women are outnumbered by shrieking, hideous harridans, too. So, I mean, you know, it's... You say tomato, sister. All right, anyway, so this guy had emailed us, and he said, my wife of 23 years recently passed away before Thanksgiving. My question is, how long is respectable in a woman's mind before I start dating again, and is it weird if I ask out her friend? So we'll welcome the guy. This is, can we use your name here?
No, I'd prefer not to, Rick. We'll just go with Fat Truck Driver.
Yeah, that's how he identified himself in the email, Fat Truck Driver. You're in Portland. All right, so did we get the facts here pretty much correct?
Yes.
All right, so your wife died right before Thanksgiving, and so you haven't gone on a date since then, but you're kind of wanting to put your toe back into the dating pool.
Yeah, I kind of want to do that. I have two beautiful daughters that are kind of pushing me that way. My family's kind of butting in as far as how far I should grieve, I guess.
No.
If they would leave me alone, I guess it would be okay. And the girl that I would like to ask out actually gave me her phone number New Year's Eve.
Oh, dude, you're in.
She wants you to ask her out.
Dude, it's on.
I know, but I'm not looking for, you know, I mean, sex is great, don't get me wrong, but I'm not looking for that. I'm looking more for companionship.
Does she know that you're recently widowed?
Yeah, she was my wife's best friend.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she, see, and you know how women are, because women have these whole, we've talked about this before, but it's like, especially if you're doing, like, if you're doing something wrong, like in bed or something, you're doing something wrong in the lovemaking department, every other woman that your wife, your girlfriend hangs out with, they'll know it long before you do, because women, yeah. I think women talk and they share all that information or something, so your best friend, so if she's asking you out, clearly your wife had glowing things to say about you. So.
Right.
Wow.
It just depends on who you talk to, though, because
so when she
a
gave
lot
you...
of friends, family, they give me crap about wanting to go out and date somebody.
Well, they can pound it.
Well,
it's
wait
not
a
their
second.
Life.
Wait a second. Is it your wife's family that's giving you a hard time, or is it your family that's giving you a hard time?
It's my wife's sister and my mom.
It's none of their business.
Yeah, well, they can eat it. It's not their life. They're not the one who's having to deal with it. So you can. I mean, you don't have to tell them to pound it in those terms.
You don't even have to tell them if you're dating her.
Yeah, well, I mean, how old are you?
Everybody knows. We all go out like once a month. We all meet for breakfast and we all talk and everything. And
all right,
everybody knows.
How old are you?
I am 44 years old.
Yeah, 44. Yeah, they can, you know, they tell them to go mind their own business. Tell them to go watch General Hospital. They get to meddle in other people's affairs.
At what point do you get to decide what your life is about anyway?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, right. my life at the time was my wife.
All right. Well,
I'm about ready to go out with you.
Dude, you keep doing that. Therese will sleep with you. Let me ask you this. So your wife's best friend, she gave you her number on New Year's Eve. Now, what context did this happen? How did it go? In other words,
we were out partying, having a great time. New Year's Eve rolled around.
Yeah.
I left about 3:30 in the morning, and as I left, I kissed all the girls in the room, and she slipped her number in my hand.
See, that's... Dude, she wants it.
That's definitely a sign that she would like to, she's interested.
Yeah, I mean, and she's known you for whatever, for 18 years, so it's like, you know, so you, presumably she's not just looking to bang you, but I mean, you know.
No, and you don't have to go really fast, you don't have to do anything right away. What about
right,
a couple of nice dinners?
I'm sure I'm ready.
Yeah, no, that's totally what I'm, and the other thing is this, the other thing is that if she is, and I'm not saying it's the case, but if she is looking just to have, whatever, like sympathy sex with you, which may or may not be the case, but if it is, because she's your wife's best friend for 18 years, presumably knows you pretty well. You don't have to worry about her,
expectations.
Yeah, that's the thing. She knows who you are. She's not going to expect you to, like, get married right away and whatnot, because that would be weird on a whole lot of levels. So it seems like that's your best bet.
Okay.
And so if I were you, I would go out, sleep with whatever, the best friend, and then you can use her as sort of a stopgap, girlfriend, you know, to elongate the time, you know, between your wife's death and when you want to start the kind
to
of dating other girls.
Ease you back into the world of dating and relationships.
Yeah, she's sort of she's sort of like dating helper, you know?
Yeah, but I don't want to use her. What happens if the fact if I really do like her and I use her all of a sudden and then I may push that person farther away?
I don't know. It sounds like she's into you. So I mean, she'll let you know what the deal is, you know.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying. So yeah. So I would totally go out with her and see what happens. But you gotta let us know.
And don't let your mom or your sister-in-law make you feel bad about anything. You lived 23 good years with your wife, and that is something to be proud of.
Yeah. You know, I am. Yeah. You don't have to prove anything. Your family can piss off. You don't have to prove anything to anybody.
Rick, I wish you could tell him that.
Yeah, well, you have him call me. I'll tell him what for.
Thank you. I listen every day. Thank you so much for the help.
Excellent. Spread the word, brother. There you go. Thank you for listening. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
all right, there you go. Your family can eat it, you know?
I have a question.
Yeah.
How come men always give sex a title like makeup sex, sympathy sex? Women, it's just sex.
Well, because it's the same. Here's the thing. It's because men categorize. It's what we do. It's the same reason. How do you file your CDs at home?
They're just thrown around.
Yeah, okay. Mine, here's the thing. Mine are broken up by genre. Inside genre, they're alphabetical, and inside the alphabetization, they're chronological.
Wow.
All right? That's because men categorize things. We file things. We sort. We organize. We collate. We sift. We staple.
Is your sock drawer as organized?
No, because those are just socks. I'm talking about CDs. And it's the same thing with women. Here's the reason that... I'm glad you asked me that. It's almost like this is too perfect. This is because it gives me a chance to unspool this whole long thing that women don't always know. And again, there are exceptions, and I'm making a broad generalization.
So this is what guys think.
This is, as a general rule, this is what guys think as opposed to how women think. The reason that one of the reasons there's so many complications between men and women is because women have one category, men have many categories. Here's what I mean. Men have women that they like a lot, you know, but don't love. They have women they love, but don't want to sleep with. They have women they sleep with, but don't love. Men have women they sleep with and don't love or even like at all, but who they really like sleeping with. They have women that they don't like and don't want to sleep with, and then they have women that they do love and do want to sleep with. Women have one category. Guys they know. You know? Women have guys they slept with or in love with, and it's all the same. It's like once you get into one category, you're in all categories. Once you sleep with a woman, more than like, especially if you slept with her like a couple times, the odds are you're getting put in that guys I am considering to marry column.
Mm.
With women, there's just one or two columns, and they all get mixed up, especially once you've slept together a few times. The woman, one category starts to bleed into another. You know what I mean? Whereas men can keep it very, I mean, and men, you know that I'm speaking the truth here. Men can keep it separated. You know, men are fully aware that there's some women you're just going to sleep with, and it's not ever going to be anything more. But every time you sleep with a woman, her categories start to blend more and more. You know, you sleep with a woman once, she might just have you in the guy I slept with category. You sleep with a woman 10 times, she starts to put you in, you know, the guy I'm dating, guy I'm having a relationship with, guy that I want to, you know, have children with.
But of course, there are exceptions to every rule.
I'm not saying it's every woman. Yeah. I'm saying generally speaking, though.
But that also leads into the theory that women will always make, I don't know how to say this, make excuses for guys that are less than perfect partners or
yes.
potential partners. It's like, oh, okay, so he's a little bit sloppy, or right. I can fix him.
Right, but see, that's the thing. Is like, if there's a guy, like, if a guy has a woman he's just sleeping with, it's just sex, it's nothing else. You know, they don't, you know, it's just a booty call thing. You know, it's not love, they're not going to get married, and it's not like a disrespect thing, but it's just a sexual relationship, well, then by definition, the guy is probably not going to stick around if the sex is really bad, because there's not really anything making up for it. Whereas women, though, because women have fewer categories, and the categories blend together, if the guy's like, well, he's really funny, and he makes a good living, and it's stable and secure, and he's going to be a good dad, then women will sometimes let the other thing slide. Men are less likely to do that. But so, your question as to why guys have different types of sex, it's because guys categorize in general. Guys have makeup sex, breakup sex. Here's a thing women don't want to know. Guys totally have, well, it's hate sex, or what my friend Brandon used to call grudge effing. And grudge effing is totally like it's totally a girl that you really don't get along with and that you have a lot of fights with. It's what the romance novels call a tumultuous or tempestuous relationship. But it's really a girl you just fight with constantly. But then out of the fighting comes this really insane, bizarre, psycho hot sex.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the grudge F. There's, what else? There's hotel sex. Guys totally
vacation
have...
Vacation sex, I bet.
Hotel sex, vacation sex.
Sympathy sex.
There's sympathy sex. What else? Makeup, okay. Makeup sex, breakup sex, grudge sex, motel sex, sympathy sex, vacation sex. I mean, I know I'm probably missing other ones. You know, but I don't think women typically have that, you know?
No.
Women, guys also have, what I call relief sex. And relief sex is just sex you have because you're really distracted from, like, what you're trying to do by being horny, and you just got to have sex so you can get back to work.
Women have that, too.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Where it's like you're sitting there and you're trying to whatever. You're trying to work on your Excel spreadsheet, and you're just like, okay, 3, carry the 1, boobs. Ow, damn it. Okay, 5 times 9 is, you know, ass. Oh, damn it. And then you just got to go have sex so you can get back to work and do the spreadsheet. Yeah, being a guy is complex. Women think it's hard, but it's a lot of work. You got to keep all those things straight.
I'm glad I'm a girl.
I'm glad you're a girl, too. We'll be back. We got Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. And today's Top 5. It's all coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Rick Emerson. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sarah Dillon has the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
225, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell or trade your car. Donate it to Heritage for the Blind for a tax deduction. Call 1-800-2-DONATE. That's 1-800-2-DONATE. Deborah Messing plays Ben Stiller's fiancé, who has an affair with their scuba instructor on their honeymoon. And along came Polly. Deborah said the script made her laugh.
It just grabbed me. It tickled me. You know, I'm always looking for films that make me laugh, and I'm tough. And I read it, and I just, you know, I really appreciate John Hamburg's sense of humor, and I thought the characters were delightful, and knowing that Ben Stiller was going to be playing the leading role, and just envisioning him going through this quandary, it just was perfect.
I see what you mean. What does the film say about love and finding the wrong person, Deborah?
I think like any good romance, it tells you to just always listen to your heart. Something very simple. You know, it's very easy to fall into a path because the externals tell you that that's where you should be, or that's who you should be with. But when it's love's love. Love is, if you have the courage to break through and follow your heart, then it'll pay off in spades.
Oh, what a wonderful thing to say. Along Comes Polly is now playing. Right this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow, Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Indeed, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Just a moment, we're going to welcome Clyde Lewis to the show. I think this should be every day. I think every day Therese should just sit here and ask us long probing questions about men and sex. Give me like a 40 share. Rick, back to the F-Mat Gallery. This is a no-brainer. An F-Mat Gallery online. People send photos of their best place F-Mats. Or assign a point system. More points for a video capture of an F-Mat on a live location news broadcaster Blazer game. I can't advocate that sort of a thing. This is exactly what your show needs, Dan in Portland. F-Mat with all your free swag.
This F-Mat could be sponsored by your business.
Also this. Rick, 23 years of marriage? I would have brought a date to the wake, or at least been networking the babes there. F-Mat with a sympathy bouquet.
This F-Mat could be sponsored by your business.
All right, well done. All right. Rick, don't forget about deathbed sex. Okay. Whatever you have to... Whatever you say there. All right. So we've got deathbed sex. Hold on. Okay, so we've got deathbed sex.
And you also got to include danger sex.
Is that like on a roller coaster?
Well, no, but okay, everybody's got like their limits of what they feel comfortable with sexually, or you know, what they're willing to kind of do, public displays of affection, that kind of stuff.
Leave the horse outside.
Yeah, exactly. So when there are a lot of times where guys will look at that where they're crossing their lines of what they would normally feel comfortable with.
Like what?
So they get into that dangerous. Well, somebody that, you know, isn't comfortable necessarily with, like, public affection.
Oh, and, yeah.
Like, having sex in a theater or something, you know.
What
I don't
about
know.
Alan Alda, what character did he play again? Hawkeye? What was her name?
Hot Lips.
Hot Lips.
Yeah. Oh, in the cave.
In the cave when they were being bombed.
When they were on their way to the 8063rd.
Right,
and
that kind of sex.
The North...
What is that
called? What are you all looking at me for, you dicks?
What kind of sex is that?
No, that's totally crisis. No, that's crisis sex. That's totally crisis sex. That's completely the thing. Like, let's say, God forbid, we were to be attacked by killer bees here, Therese, and it was our last night on Earth. We're stuck in the studio. I say, in the words of a great 20th century philosopher, if you cannot be with the one you love, honey, then, you know. Let's welcome now to the show our good friend, Clyde Lewis, host of his own damn fine radio program, Clyde Lewis. We're also going to talk to the world-famous Hog Whitman here in a moment. What's up, Clyde?
That happens in the movie Cabin Fever, too. The one girl has this disease, and she looks around and says, it's like a plane going down, and you just want to find somebody next to you and just F the S out of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, going, yeah, you whore.
You know, I saw that over the weekend.
What? Yeah.
Cabin Fever.
Yeah.
I was so looking forward to seeing it because I'd heard how good it was.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Isn't it one of the worst films? It's
so
stupid.
Disappointed.
It is a stupid film.
I avoided it. It seemed, it was one of, had a great poster. Had a great poster, had a great teaser trailer, and then the reviews came in and it was just... They've got this new excuse for bad films in Hollywood, where whenever a film is jam-packed with cliches, the new spin... See, because when a cliched film came out, it used to be like, oh, that film's just crap, right? But no, the new spin is this. When a movie comes out that's full of cliches, what they say is, no, it's an homage to the great genre movies of the past, when really it's just a bunch of the same old crap strung together. Now, it's not an homage, it's just cliches.
A film that surprises me as being a good film is Butterfly Effect. I'm not kidding. I think it's a great film.
I
went and saw it again last night at the Lloyd Center 10.
How come it's getting panned, though?
Two syllables, Coocher.
Well, Coocher, yeah, but he's not bad. I mean,
he's
really
not good.
Surprised.
Of course he's bad. He's Ashton Coocher.
No, he's fine. He's okay.
And he's defiling a Ray Bradbury story, right?
Well, it's based on The Distant Sound of Thunder by Ray Bradbury. But they pay homage to him in the fact that the kids go to Bradbury College. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. I enjoyed it because I know the story of that. You know, I know
Bradbury's had a stroke. Hasn't he suffered enough? He's got to see Ashton Kutcher defile his crap.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
That's welcome to the show, the world famous Hog Whitman. What's up, brother?
Rick.
Hog.
You said homage.
Yes.
Homage.
Yes.
You spoke French.
Yes.
And right after going through all different kinds of sex that men supposedly categorize.
Yes.
Sure, you're not looking for some hot man love or something?
No, these are all things that are true. Matt was with me on this, and the men have the... Clyde, you're with me on the different types of sex, makeup, breakup.
Right.
Have I missed anything? Makeup? We've got...
Well, I'm sure at some point in my life I've had all of those, but I never, like, you know, filed them.
Yeah,
categorized them or something like that. It's just that sex is sex. It's like, bend over, okay.
Yeah, well, you don't...
sex.
Yes. Yeah. Well, on the other hand, like I said, as I've often said, you don't sit around and ponder what the pompousness of love really is either. So I know that I'm a little different from many folks in that regard. So.
I can admit that I have never pondered the pompousness.
You don't wonder what colitis actually is in Hotel California.
I'm wondering the pompousness.
Yeah. I can say that without equivocation.
Yeah. All right.
So well, my question for, was it Teresa?
Therese? Yeah.
Oh, my advice to you, Therese.
Yeah?
Buy a vowel. Teresa just isn't working. But, no, just kidding. Have a all right.
Oh my gosh, I'm cracking up so hard.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Me too. while pondering my pompous over here. So anyway, I'm married and I love my wife. In fact, everybody else does, and that's kind of the problem. There's this really hot girl who wants to do a threesome. Should I just
you and Mrs. Whitman and another? And so there's another girl.
Well, no, she doesn't know about this.
The other girl, what, you're just going to, was just
well,
going to drug
sure
her?
She would say no, so do I mention it to her?
Who would say no? Your wife?
Yeah.
Well, don't do it. What is wrong with
you? I've got two words for you. Duct tape.
No, so do I just, like, don't tell her anything and go ahead and pound the pompadus with the...
I don't understand what we're asking here. So you and your wife, there's another girl... At what point did the show become like a... All right. Okay.
It's way before I called, Rick.
So...
You started making that list deal.
Yeah. All right. So there's you and your wife, and then there's another woman who is into y'all, to the both of you, but your wife wouldn't be into it.
No.
And so you think that you ought to just get as close as you can by just banging the other woman.
Well, should I even mention it?
No.
I've met your wife. She's going to cut your scrotum off.
Well,
that's the thing. If this ever gets,
she's not listening. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I. Oh boy, we've really wandered into some sort of. This is a thing. This is a tractor beam that you probably don't want to get anywhere near. That's no moon, my friend.
Yeah, it's a bad idea, man.
It's the death planet.
You're going down.
I made you sound supremely uncomfortable. I've done my job.
Yes.
I gotta go.
All right, there you go. That's. Yeah. Boy, that I didn't really expect. See, because here's the thing.
I think
thing.
That might be a drunken joke. Let's hope.
I don't think, let's hope that it is. Yes, it sounds like
a
joke,
Mrs.
Whitman.
Joke.
That's not serious at all. He was just kidding with the, yeah. Because see, on the screen here, it's got, you know, tells the name of the people, where they're calling from, and then it's got the, you know, whatever, the comment, you know, Sarah puts up briefly what they want to talk about, but it only has room for three or four words. And it just said, hog, threesome, you know, ha-ha, or something. And I didn't really understand where that was going to go. Yeah, I've met Mrs. Whitman. You don't want to annoy that. That's great and not prone to taking any guff. Let's talk to Clyde.
Hey,
Clyde, how are you?
Doing?
How's your life going?
Oh, really well. Hey, I can tell you that we've had some great shows the past couple of weeks. And we did reverse speech. And I had a show on Friday that was really funny. I was talking about I have a scream speech by Howard Dean.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys got that Howard Dean scream, don't you?
That's the free version of the Rick Emerson
show.
Yeah.
So I was listening to it, and it always cracks me up. And so I decided that what I wanted to do is I wanted to put Howard Dean in certain situations where that scream would work and he wouldn't sound bad using the scream. So what it is, I put together a few things I'd like to play on your show if I could.
Okay.
The first one is Howard Dean in the movie Psycho. Let's listen to that.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I did a couple of them,
well
actually.
Done.
And so if you want, I could like play a couple of
Bring
them.
Bring it on, brother.
Okay,
right.
Here's number two. This is Howard Dean on a roller coaster.
The city of tomorrow.
And this is the next one is everybody's favorite one. This is Howard Dean starring in Enter the Dragon with Christopher Lee.
It is like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all the heavenly glory.
Did I hear a snort?
You really did.
Oh,
oh God. And see, the thing is, it's just such an easy joke. You know, that is really what James Joyce would call the low-hanging fruit there. I mean, it's so easy, but God damn, that's funny.
And then the final one is Howard Dean starring in South Park.
All right.
Hey, guys. How are you feeling? We just came by because we have something to tell you.
Yeah. See, we got you to fight just because we wanted to see who was the toughest. We made up all that stuff we said to get you guys mad at each other.
We just came by to apologize. We feel so bad.
Boy, do we ever.
So I guess we'll be going now, and we'll just live with the knowledge that you're both kind of sissy.
Oh, my God! They killed Kenny!
Excellent. He does kind of sound a lot like Timmy, too.
Yeah, he does.
Dean kind of has a Timmy thing going on.
So, yeah, I just thought I'd do that for fun.
Oh, excellent. So. All right, that's what I'm talking about. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Yeah, I'm just going to write off about 90% of the things I was going to get through today, because there's no point. We will come back and do today's top five, though. So we'll come back. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley, Clyde Lewis, Therese. We'll be back. We got the top five coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080. Care to care. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I almost feel bad. You know what it is? It's like during the first Bigger Than Jesus run when I got the laugh using the Andy Rooney voice, and it's like I just felt so bad because it's such a cheap freaking way.
Laugh, yeah.
Such a cheap. It's the like the Cosmopolis voice when I, you know, when I'm doing the whole thing of with my guitar in the garage, you know, and people, oh, it's the Cosmo. It's a funny voice. And I just, and I feel like such a tool getting a laugh that way, but that's, but you can't not do it. It's just funny. That's the Howard Dean thing, man.
We are an easily amused people. It's okay.
It's, there's no one more easily amused than us. All right, Sarah has the traffic here.
First in, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Rick in Southeast says, can we make this a recurring feature of the show where Therese just sits and talks about sex all day? Yeah, I'm open.
Yeah.
Rick Emerson votes yes. Did I just hear the Wild Bills? Is that place advertising with us now?
Yeah.
That's what Richard Nunn, because they do the monogrammed poker chips there.
Yeah, they do poker chips and poker tables and all the good stuff that you want for your home game.
Excellent. That's, are we doing that on, is that this Friday?
It is. We're doing trays, I think, on Friday. And we may actually have enough people at this point to do two tables.
Well, even because I know that Justin's not going to be here. Sarah's taking her her boyfriend who's susceptible to the powers of female persuasion, we'll put it that way. He's not going to be here.
Like you're not.
Seriously. I'm not missing my poker game.
He is just as excited as
I am. I've already budgeted for that money that Justin was going to give me.
You're a good poker player anyway. It's all Lara making your money.
Tell me something I don't know.
Justin Moore is an ATM that actually is a player.
When he comes, I just, you know, he starts counting my money as soon as he comes to the door. No, I'm not going to front that. I shouldn't even say this, but I mean, it's like, because Trey asked me the other day if I was still playing much poker, you know, except, you know, other than like at his house, and I, you know, no, because, hell, I'm not going to taint that mojo going on at my place, because, you know, Lara sat down at a poker table about 10 days ago, sat down at $20, walked away a few hours later, $540.
Wow.
She walked away with $520 of other people's money. That's what daddy likes. I'm not gonna let my ego get in the way of that gravy train. I don't think so. You know what I mean? See, you what's this? Well, it's, you know, this chick who's, you know, winning you money hand over fist. I'm not gonna claim that I'm, you know, good enough to get in on that action. I'll just go to Trey's and, you know, eat of the beef and speak of the bosom. And
someone who's a lot, you know, like me but is not me,
who's legally distinct from you.
Legally distinct from me has made a few hundred this month.
Yeah, well, that's what, yeah. I mean, it's no, and I'm, you know, and I'm really not, and I'm not all that great because, you know, because the thing is, I just have trouble. I have trouble staying out because it's a thing where you just want to play, and so I'm like, you know, I go in with, you know, all in on twos or something. What have you got? A 3-4 off suit, shoving all the chips in. I'm just like a tool, you know. So I don't have the, self control necessary for that. Yeah, but she just had this amazing run. She just sat down. A few hours later, had just raked in like all of everyone else's money. You know,
has she entered the Party Poker Million yet?
That's kind of what I'm talking about. I don't know. Was that the one you go on the cruise?
End? There's multi-table tournaments, and you've got to play them, and it's like $25 for the qualifier.
I don't know.
And if you win the qualifier, you win like a $9,000 cruise and a shot at $3.5 million for the.
I don't know. It's, you know, I just stay the hell out of it. Again, I got such bad luck when it comes to poker. Sometimes I'm just stay. I'm not even. I don't want to mess up the whole thing again. I don't want to bring my negative mojo.
Did she spend the money on Prada shoes or anything? Anything good?
Who knows what you people spend money on?
Via Spiegas.
I mean, doesn't it all just go to IKEA? Isn't that the
thing? No, Prada.
Isn't that the
Blahnik?
Isn't that the? I mean, we should, I don't know if I mentioned it, but she went to Seattle, and it's like her and her. She and a friend actually went to Seattle, spent several days in Seattle, literally for the sole purpose of shopping at IKEA, because there isn't one here.
Right.
And so they go to Seattle. So much IKEA was brought home that at a certain point they had to get a supplemental car. They had to get like a minivan. They had to augment their transportation with a supplemental van simply to bring all the IKEA home. You know, which is fine, though, because it was all paid by some other guy. It was all paid for by some other guy who went in on like a Queen 10, you know, so anyway. Are we breaking again? I've gotten nothing done. Nothing. I have nothing. Well, okay. We'll be back.
We also have no time.
Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Strange dream house. We're just talking about faceless people in box trucks in California.
Can I ask you something?
Very weird. That
Ryan Lewis, Ground Zero. I got an email. Is it true that on your show this weekend, you told a caller to, quote, stop being paranoid?
No, actually, I asked him if he thinks... I said, do you think that people think you're paranoid?
Right, but did you tell the caller that he was being paranoid?
A little bit, yeah. I did.
That's the kettle. Pop the kettle. Come in, kettle.
That's the kettle. I'm not paranoid.
All right.
I'm never paranoid.
Okay. Rick, subject line of this email is Sarah's Dominance. Rick, I can hear the crack of Sarah's whip on her man's back from here. Tony, P.S. F-Matt with thigh-high dominatrix boots.
This F-Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Are you paranoid if you look both ways on a one-way street?
Well, I do, and I completely do that.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Are you paranoid if you have a...
That doesn't mean you're paranoid, it just means everybody in Portland's drunk all the time.
If you have that caller ID, is that paranoia? Or if you have someone knock at your door and you look at the people, is that paranoia, too?
No, but...
Well, you're touched.
But I also don't believe the moon is hollow and filled with machinery.
Never said that.
Uh-huh.
Never did.
Okay.
Never said
that. All right. I don't believe that goblins are coming and moving my silverware around like in a studio while I'm... We've got recordings.
No, I said that it...
A silver glass started moving across the table.
It did.
Yeah, okay.
It did.
We've got... by the way, this just in for the Drudge Report. I'm quoting now. Joe Lieberman contemplates, quote, suspending, end quote, his campaign. Top sources. That's like saying that my grandmother suspended breathing a couple years ago.
You know, I was reading, they were talking about candidates and what music they're listening to now, and I see, like, you know, Carrie's listening to Springsteen, and
did you see that Dean said his favorite artist was Wyclef Jean?
Or something like that.
It sure is.
He's listening to some Aria, and I'm thinking, why vote him in?
But at least he's honest about it. It's like, I mean, imagine if Pat Buchanan told you he was listening to Outkast or something. It's like, if you're old enough to touch, just say it. Just cop to it. Don't say, no, I'm a big fan of the Slipknot. Why would you possibly say that? And it fools no one. They ask Dean that point blank. Because that's become one of those questions they do to gauge your engagement with the American people, and it's like that. But it's like that thing they do. It's what music are you listening to? Is the new how much does a quart of milk cost? Which is that thing that they were asking everybody back in 2000 because they asked what's his name? Because they caught somebody with that a few years ago. They caught
Bush Senior.
Bush. Well, that was a supermarket scanner, and then they caught somebody else like Songus or somebody years ago. How much a quart of milk? $9. You know, and he said no.
Well, yeah, he was there. You know, he had a scanner. And he goes, it's funny what they do with technology these days.
Yeah.
Like what? Out of touch or something.
Anyway, they asked Dean what his favorite band was, and he just said, I'm listening to a lot of Wyclef Jean, which, like, fools no one. So, all right, so what's coming up tonight with you?
I'm just going to be speaking of Audacious Classics as a 2433 Southeast Pal. I do it every Tuesday night, and lately we've been having big crowds, and I'd like to encourage you, if you haven't come out, it's a lot of fun. We all talk about some of the things I do and some things I talk about, and we have Dr. Larry Johns, who's a doctor in theology, who comes and tries to ground me, and it's very interesting to see him, you know, basically be my counterpoint. And that's been very good. And we also do Klingon karaoke on Thursday, which is, you don't have to speak Klingon to enjoy it. It's kind of an art.
Klingon karaoke?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. That smells of dork factor like you wouldn't believe.
But yeah, that's the whole point. It's got dork factor, and yet it's fun all at the same time. Oh. It really is. You have Klingon singing pop songs, and it's hilarious.
All right.
It really does get points for humor. I mean, it really is.
Okay.
It really is charming in its own sort of strange.
Okay, yeah. Save me a seat.
Kind of way. So, yeah. You really ought to go check that out.
Ooh. Listen to that.
What is that? We put on the Jerry White voice.
She doesn't like geeks.
Ooh.
I thought you liked
geeks. She doesn't like younger guys either. That's right. Daryl brought by this tape of Good Day Oregon when she had been on and she'd done a story. They'd send her up to a bar, right, to do a story on speed dating. And they showed you interacting with all these guys in just like the most cleavage-revealing shirt you've ever seen, by the way. And at the end, you're doing the recap in the studio, and they say, so, Therese, what do you think of all the guys? She goes, well, I don't know. They're all kind of young.
They were. They're in their early 20s.
Why would you even care?
Why do you like younger guys, right?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, you're the first.
Oh, you don't even know what you're
I am attracted to younger men because they're obviously physically more attractive.
You're attracted to younger men, but you're not into younger men. What does that mean?
I like the wallets of the daddies myself.
Yeah.
That's what mama likes.
Okay, I've already got it. I see tomorrow's show. Wait, it's all coming to me as though in a dream. Excellent. All right, we got XCNR radio correspondent Jim Roof, John Bisney, Clyde Lewis, of course. Check him out tonight at Bodacious Classics. Ground Zero Fridays at 10, Saturdays at 10, Sundays at 8. We want to thank Therese, Drew Barrymore, Deborah Messing, David Kaye, John Kerry, Pat Buchanan, Jack Osborne, Sigourney Weaver, and all y'all. Rick Emerson, Joe's produced today, and every day with the lovely Sarah Dillon from Hot Talk to Eddie KFTK. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive producer, 1F Matt Peterson. As always, don't let the bastards grind it out. Like us next, world famous Bill Henry Show at 7. We'll see you in 21 hours. Thanks for listening. Be safe, y'all. Bye.
Mouth or something, make it shut up.